And just like that, we are back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, season 15, Married at First Sight recap, episode 11. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
I like how you have your notes there. You know, I had to make some notes of my own too, right? Like some new nicknames that we got from Awakened 11 on YouTube, who and some of these I'm probably going to end up using, like Mean Morgan. We definitely got to bring that out. Sad Stasha, I think I see why from last week's episode. And Loony Lindy, that just applies from the entire goddamn season. So we might have to use that too. But you know, let's go ahead and start off with Alexis and Justin, and we're probably going to need some nicknames for them too. But where this episode kicks off, it picks up where it left off last time, right? And Justin is so out of touch that I wonder, like, if he felt that she was shut down, then why didn't he realize that that's not a conversation you have in public? Like, baby, do you need to go somewhere and talk? Is a better way to handle that situation? Come on.
Like, he's on a reality show and there's cameras and microphones everywhere and producers are like, Justin, keep asking. Dig deeper, Justin. There's something wrong.
Dig deeper. Her eyes this is are the moment it. You wanted.
Yeah. This is what you've been training for, Justin. Let all the tears out. I think even after, you know, she comes out the bathroom with Stasia and they're talking outside. It felt like Alexis's body language was just like, yeah, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got, you know, 25 more days.
Yeah.
I'll be rid of this tall glass of water. I can pour out this tall glass of water.
A tall glass of dirty water. and right on cue, Justin brings back the alligator tears, right? And the interesting
thing. But rightfully so, this is dog died. I mean.
You know what's so crazy about this? I literally have it written that says, and people like Terrell think it's okay because those alligator tears are over a dog. You bastards. That man cried his heart out over his woman, and you're like, oh, he's such a pussy. But now it's over a dog. You're like, that's great.
No, I think it's okay to cry over a dog that you've been with for 7 years. I don't think it's okay to cry over a woman you've been with for 3 days, which is what he did.
You have no idea how good that woman was to him in those 3 days.
Well, not enough. I mean, nothing's happened. So, and I think it's more on him than it is on her. So, you know, but his dog died. I mean, you lost one of your cats. I'm sure you're not going to be like.
Die. The dog didn't die.
Well, not the dog
just
died.
Can't come home.
The dog can't come home. But here's what I did notice.
It's his fault.
That tells me the dog is way more aggressive than he let on.
Exactly.
Originally. If it's that bad around other dogs, they're like, dude, I can't fix her, and you might as well just leave her here, which I still think is odd. That you hey, you should just leave her here. Can you do that with a car? It's like, hey, we can't fix it, alternators. Just let us have it.
Well, because here's why, too. Because they know that it's got to go into a house with another dog. Like, yay, this dog is not ready for that. Here, at least we can keep it isolated. She'll be in a good spot. She'll be well taken care of. But yeah, there's no fixing her. She's too aggressive against other dogs. You're the dog person, not me. I'm not supposed to understand this. You are. What the hell's wrong here?
I just don't see how you just hand the dog over that quickly. Like, I'd find another way, maybe a friend that doesn't have a dog, and then I can go visit 2 or 3 times a week to go see the dog. I just don't see how you just say, hey, well, you know, it's been a good 7-year run. All right, then. I don't see how you do that.
It was a 7-year itch. It was time to go. But did you notice that Alexis, to his face, and not so passive aggressively called him weak because he dropped stairs. Because she said, you know, I always equated tears to weakness, Justin.
Nudging.
So basically, she thinks
similar like
punk.
This mother.
She almost thinks like he's a punk. I mean, and even her reaction to him wanting to fly the kite was hilarious because she's like, I'm gonna say at 23, he's like, well, I'm 33. You want to go fly a kite now? I brought it.
So that's what was hilarious is that he's opening up his heart. Mm-hmm. And talking about when he wanted to, you know, if I flew a kite, I feel like I was the kite. And that was just kind of clear in my head. Now, I'm like, you do you. But the look on her face was just like,
So you can get Jesus. So you can get the kite up, but you can't get anything else up, huh? That's what it is. Oh. I think that's the part that's on the cutting room floor.
Oh, wow. You should be the kite and fly up in this pussy. Let's go. I got a tree you can get stuck on. Right here. Get you some of that oak.
Oh, Jesus.
So, okay, so I think she wanted to laugh when he said that about the kite, but I think I gained a little bit more insight about Alexis. Mm-hmm. So being vulnerable is tough. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to be vulnerable when you meet someone organically or through a dating app and have a relationship that eventually evolves. Mm-hmm. You're having to be vulnerable really quickly within a couple weeks.
Exactly.
With somebody. And so I get why you still want to keep a little bit to the, you know, to the vest. Mm-hmm. And from a guy perspective, we're always telling guys, you know, you're not supposed to cry. Like, we're all raised that way. Right. And it's okay to cry. Maybe not as much as Justin, but it's okay to cry, you know, whenever you need to let it out.
Yeah.
But her thing about hyper independence, I think that is why. Remember, we kept trying to figure out why she would say no to the three people who proposed to her?
Yeah.
Because knowing that marriage is, you're no longer independent.
Yes.
You have to depend on somebody and you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable and get help.
Right.
And so maybe that's, she's ran from it all this time. So this kind of maybe makes a little bit sense, more sense of why she's the way she is.
And you have to give her credit. And I said this from the very beginning. While you were talking about in the very beginning about her and these telling three people no and how bad that was, the fact is that she has come into this head first. And I mean, think about this. Her initial reaction to seeing Justin was, nah, bruh, that ain't gonna happen, when she saw him on the app. He came down there and she was like, well, I said I'd give this shit a try, so let's go.
We in here.
Exactly. She was all in. And I give her credit in that. We both said that she checked out from the very beginning, and she really wasn't. But she tried. And maybe she's just a great actress. But what she did was she kind of put forward a lot to kind of, hey, let's see. This man is sensitive. He's crying all the time. He's weak as hell. And I'm going to take my shots every once in a while because I'm still a tomboy and I'm going to talk about how sensitive I got of a husband I have, but I'm still going to stand there by him. And she tried her best. And she did a lot of that stuff until he just finally pushed the wrong buttons with her. So.
Yeah. Well, I just think she's just too strong for him.
Yes.
I think that his vulnerability and the fact that he's sensitive, that's going to be hard for her to overcome, because I think she's going to look at that as finding it hard to respect him. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. I know, you know, therapist, but I think she would have a hard time respecting him, because if she's like, okay, I got to be technically what she thinks is the man of the relationship and not be sensitive because she was raised that way. Now to have this big, giant, sensitive man, I just wonder if she can disrespect him or not.
Hey, their relationship in a nutshell is their conversation following their one-on-one basketball game. Because he tried to talk trash and she almost said, shut your punk ass up. I took it easy on you. I took it easy and I was still able to whoop your ass. All right, so on to Looney Lindy and Miguel, who, you know what, I think looking back on his upbringing, you can see in his childhood, you get to see the things that I guess a lot of mixed kids kind of go through when, you know, you're not, you know, he wasn't white enough when he was in America and he wasn't Latino enough when he was in Puerto Rico. And it's one of those things that you see with the not black enough or not white enough for those kids that are mixed between black and white, which I guess, so he really should be hanging out with Stasha and Nate, really, because, you know, that was their issue.
But I don't think he's not interracial. I think that he was raised, he's Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. but didn't have that Latin heritage. And so, like in San Antonio, they called them coconuts. Mm-hmm. Brown on the outside, white on the inside. That's what, when I was a kid, that's what Hispanic people were called that couldn't speak Spanish.
Right.
And so maybe there was that. So growing up technically as a Latino in the U.S., he's not white enough to be around the white kids because they're like, mm-hmm. no, you got a little something in you because, you know, they can recognize. And then here's a little curly at the top. No.
Sir. White recognized non-white.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get in our pool. So then when he goes to Puerto Rico where he's like around his people, they're just like, oh, well, you're not enough. You know, so I get it. I can see how he dealt with that. I think that his upbringing says a lot about him. I'm impressed with him, and I'm impressed with this couple, mm-hmm. even though Lindy is crazy. But if you look at how she grew up, that's like, I get why you're crazy. You just don't all of a sudden walk away normal. You right. know, after 14 years of that lifestyle, just, you know, leave, and then you're good.
Mm-hmm. Well, true. And you really get a sense of the kind of stuff she dealt with in the household when Miguel had to sit down with her mom and her brother, because her brother was just like,
tell me about you having sex with my sister. Yeah, like,
why would you want to know that? And that's the kind, you can only imagine what she went through and why she rebelled the way she did, right? So, and she went out on her own, and you're right, but doesn't really excuse her behavior. I'm sorry. There's no excuse for acting like that, and acting like that and then going, and you have to deal with it. No, guess what? I don't. At all.
True. Yeah, for the next 6 weeks, you're right.
But how'd you feel? Miguel dropped the L-bomb on her. He said, I love you. And then she's like, I love you too. He goes, well, I said it first.
Well, I figured he was going to say it when he was talking about Puerto Rico and like, I can't wait to take her here
yeah.
to Puerto Rico. Like, if a guy is like, planning future trips and stuff with you.
Yeah.
He probably really likes you. Yeah. I mean, literally planning, not cookie. Just talking about it because, you know, there's dudes that are like, yeah, babe, we can go to Vegas, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Virgin Islands. Yes, sure.
he's already gotten it. He's already gotten the cookie. So he doesn't like, he has to take a day to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not just saying it just so he can get a piece.
So he meant it. And it's, you know, I will say this about this couple. I still feel that they, from what we've seen at least, right? But when they get in front of the other couples, they portray this really Little House on the Prairie style, you know, Leave It to Beaver, you know, this TV version of what their relationship is and how great everything is. That's what they want to give, right? The rom-com, oh, everything's great, as opposed to Miguel, like, no, like, she gets on my goddamn nerves because she does this. And maybe it's just the way that they just hold it tight to the vest in front of everybody else. Let's portray this. And we'll have our disagreements when we're alone. And I can yeah. I can almost respect that too.
We'll see. I mean, I think I'm worried because I'm feeling too positive about them.
Right.
That is, are they trying to set us up for the okie doke to where, you know, she's going to slap him or something on live TV next week or something, you know, just waiting for, is there going to be some drama?
Right.
But I'm more really excited about, out of all the Married at First Sights I've seen, I'm like, okay, this couple right here, mm-hmm. this.
Just to see what they do. It. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, cause he's very supportive. He's, and I like this exercise that they did where they had to do all that sharing. Cause it helps the other person understand why you're this way. Mm-hmm. So I think you can deal with anybody if you understand why they're certain.
Why? Yes. And understand how to help them past that, because that, and I think that's what we see with the next set of couples. Well, almost. But Kristen and Son of a Mitch, you know, with these two, interesting enough, especially when they went to sit down with Dr. Pepper, because that's when we really get to see them together. Mitch is finally seeing, what it's like when you push a woman to the edge with no regards for how she feels, because Kristen was done. And she said it in so many ways. You can see him sitting there just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just sitting there. He has no choice. He just takes it.
I've heard you. I got it. Well, I like the fact that Kristen realized that she was losing herself, but she is emotionally needy. Mm-hmm. And the question is, can Mitch live up to that?
Right.
Because she needs a lot of affirmation that the relationship is good, that I love you, that I like you. She needs a lot, especially having abandonment issues from mm-hmm. the dude who she was with, put everything for, and still was cheating on her for like a year.
Right.
So she needs that. And it just now the question is, can they meet each other halfway? Because I don't think Mitch can give it to her the way she wants it.
So that's a very important point, because I thought what Dr. Pepper did with them, because she goes, you haven't told me this. I need to hear this from you. And Dr. Pepper goes, wait a minute. You know, just because he may not say it the same way you want. Well, he shouldn't have gotten married. Hold up. You're putting a lot on him, right? and then she says, Mitch, tell her, give her a list of words. And obviously he botched that assignment and just gave her phrases instead. But give her a list of words about how you feel. And it was the same things that she wanted, just not in the exact wording that she wanted. And I thought he went even further when he's like, you are brave when I wasn't, you know, I right. approached this the wrong way and you dove in. And I think when you talk about going back to the childhood, but for them to just go back in the relationship, when she said that because he wasn't attracted, he told her that she overcompensated the other way because she wanted to make this work. Like we said, desperate to get married and make it work. So there it is. But she put in the work and he was right. She was brave. And I commend him for even recognizing that and recognizing his fault in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that what I like about Mitch is when Kristen is expressing herself,
mm-hmm.
he's not defensive.
Right.
If you notice, every time he's not defensive, he's like, well, that's not true. I didn't right. mean it that way. Da-da-da. He just listens.
He listens.
Like, I hear that. I hear that. And he's a processor, because in the moment, he might not be like, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. He's going to process.
Yes.
And then after he processes, he's like, you know what? Yeah, she was right. And then you got to give him time to mm-hmm. process it. You just can't say, hey, this, and expect him to, oh, okay, well, let me course correct right,
right.
now. It's, mm-hmm. it's just he needs some time to process it. So I think that that was great for him. And I love that Dr. Pepper called her out when she said that. Like, if he doesn't like demands, he shouldn't have gotten married. I'm like, what kind of marriage do you want?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. That's kind of marriage. I can't wait to get married. Just someone to tell me what to do and demand stuff. Oh, it sounds beautiful and romantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when Kristen took him to the ball field and showing her athletic side, which I didn't see, but she was showing her athletic side. Mitch can't throw or catch to save his life.
Hey, my thing is do not disrespect Jackie Robinson by putting his name in the same sentence as son of a Mitch. How dare you? He should have come up out of that field and kicked you both off the damn baseball diamond. Like, hell no.
Jackie, just come out the gram. No, ma'am. Do you know what all I went through? Have you seen 42? You should watch it. And then get back to me and look at Mitch. Yeah, but I mean, I thought that was... What was interesting is her upbringing and... I guess having those parents that are constantly pushing, because we all know yes. parents who are like that. Mm-hmm. We had friends as kids and their dad would chew them the hell out. They make a mistake on the ball field, you know, football game or whatever. Not talking about all the good stuff they did.
Right.
It's that one play where you missed a tackle and they scored, mm-hmm. you know, grabbing their son by the mask. So you got those people that it creates this perfectionist.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how she's approaching this marriage, that mm-hmm. I have to give this all I have.
Right.
I don't give it all I have and I
fail.
It
explains so much.
This is my fault because yes. maybe I didn't give enough for the last dude for 4 years
yes.
who walked out on me. So I have to keep giving. You know what I mean? So I think maybe she's in that spot.
It really explained a lot, especially, and you can see the hurt in her when she was talking about, like, you know, and I knew it would start. If I struck out, I knew it would start the minute we got in the car on the ride home.
Builds character.
It builds character. Yes, exactly. That's what they said about Richard Williams. So that's there are times when you have the two opposite ends of the spectrum. You got Kristen and you got Serena.
Well, I think it builds two type of characters, a hero or a villain. You're going to be one or the other.
Facts. That is true. But, you know, it's again, that was another example of seeing what happens when what happened in their childhood and how it's affected what they do as they get older. So,
yeah. Well, and Mitch to talk about his childhood, mm-hmm. and, you know, the loss of his dad, it's like all those things, you can see why he's the way he is. And then mm-hmm. when he did his letter, which I laughed because he did this letter on his phone to save paper, I'm sure, and had it typed up on his phone. I'm just like, son of a Mitch, look at you, saving the planet. But
one page at a time.
I think the emotional, the walls coming down for him and for him to show some vulnerability yes. is really what Kristen needed.
Yes.
And I think it gave a lot of us, I'm hoping a lot of the viewers, I didn't check Twitter to see if people think anything different about Mitch because so many people hated him.
Yes.
But now you kind of understand a little bit and you see that soft side. You're like, okay, this is just someone that needs some help.
They can work. If everything that Kristen has said here at this halfway mark, and called him out on his shit, if he's able to start meeting her halfway on the other side. But something tells me, before we get to decision day, you know, she's going to relax, and he's going to bring that damn environmentalist Mitch, son of a Mitch, back out. And it's going to be a whole nother set of problems. But, you know, I think another couple that's really making that turn for me right now, Stasha and Nate. I like them, man. I really like them together. Here's what I don't like. Why are they sitting there in these matching white ripped jeans, ripped at the knee jeans, like they bought them together in the his and hers section when they're sitting down talking to Dr. Pepper?
They got that at the swap meet because they like to hustle. And this is where I used to sell purses. Hey, what's up, y'all? Nate!
Hilarious.
So, Dr. Pepper, I like what she said to Stasha. She says, "You didn't marry you."
Right.
And that stuck with me because I know that that was one of my problems in relationships mm-hmm. is I'm like, why do you not do this the way I would do it? Why do you not see the world the way I would see it? Why do you not think the way I would? And it's like, you didn't marry yourself.
Right.
And it took me some time.
You wouldn't like you. Trust me. You would not like you.
No. Remember, I told you I went on a date with somebody. I realized, oh my God, she's just like me. This is not going to work out.
You never even went for a second date.
No, I didn't. And she's a great person, but I'm like, holy shit, this would be like dating myself. This is definitely not going to work.
You turned around and understood why every other woman did.
I mean, to a T, personalities, both Scorpios. Everything was just way too much. Like, I was like, both worked in recruiting. I'm like, this is just too crazy. I can't do this. But I had a relationship that I was trying to make this person like challenging her and just not understanding why. And then I had to realize, like, I'm trying to change you mm-hmm. and I'm wrong. If I don't like this, who you are now, then I need to get out.
If you don't like me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best.
Well, I think you got to love, like, and love somebody for where they are. You can't try to, hey, they're nice, but I can fix them. I can mold them and make them something different. But I just love the fact that when Dr. Pepper said that, just made me process some stuff. And I like the, you know, when you have to have tough conversations, hold hands.
Yeah.
I thought that,
because
I mean,
my mom said that.
I thought, I'm like, wow, that's so true because it's hard to have tough conversations. Yeah. But I think I get it, right? Because it's easy to talk shit over the phone.
Yeah.
You know, or on FaceTime and be like, hey, whatever. But sitting there looking at each other, holding each other's hand, it's like, I can't say anything mean to this person.
Well, not only that, it's kind of harder to yell. Because people in person can yell at each other and all of a sudden. It's kind of hard to yell because them spitballs going to fire back and forth. And nobody wants that shit.
That's going to start a fight. Say something else. Say something else.
Peter picked a pie. What now? you just sitting there like,
you just start beatboxing at each other.
Yeah, you know, it's really one of those exactly like, you know, when they say don't go to bed angry, you know, and this moment of hold hands when you're having those difficult, because you get to feel each other's energy at that same point, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it was dope. I thought it was pretty good, and I like the way, you know, Dr. Pepper had that convo with them. And I like the convo they had with Nate's dad. I thought that reveals so much. Especially, here's a telltale moment. Because you even saw Stasha smile when he said that, right? And he's like, she said, about your upbringing. Because Nate explains what his dad was like. He's from the South. He went to the military when he was 18. He never really showed emotion. He's like, I've never seen him cry. This is the first time I've ever seen him cry. And she goes, so is that what it was? He goes, yeah, well, that's, and you think you brought him up that way? Yes, well, I hope I did. I think I did a good job. And you saw Stasha's face, and she almost kind of, she tried not to laugh or have any real negative reaction to it, but it was one like, the light bulb went off, and she goes, ah.
This is
that's why. It. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't show Stasha crying.
Yeah, they just showed her putting her blood tears in his shirt.
That's what I was hoping for. But I did like that moment with Nate's dad. I've been anti-Nate for a lot of this series and changing my mind on Nate. Now I kind of get a little bit of what he's like.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great moment they had. I did laugh at, you know, Stasha hustling purses too. I was like, isn't this something? I wonder if that was in the questionnaire, you know?
But she turned that jeans purse embroidered with the people's name into a real estate empire, okay? Nate ain't got there yet. That's why they got a 90-10.
And he had a better quality knockoff product. Her product, she knows, was fake. She made them. He had a knockoff products and still couldn't pull it off. Not enough purses or sticks of gum he could sell to get to that real estate level. But hold on. That note to Nate's younger self. Mm. Did I hear him correctly when he said, you're smarter than all the smart kids in school? He said something like that. And I was just like, dial it back, Nate.
Yeah.
Dial it back.
But, you know, you got to big yourself. If you're not going to big yourself up, who is? And if you have a chance to go back and tell your younger self, you just, and you know, that probably came from a level of insecurity, like thinking I'm not as smart as these kids. I can't live up to what they're doing. And just that little bit of, no, you're smarter than all of them. Well, to be quite honest, it could go both ways. It could go, but I'm smarter than them, so I don't need to study for shit. Or two, like, no, I am smarter than them, and I can work at that same level as them. So it can work either way. And I think what he was trying to mean by that was like, hey, you're not beneath them. You're on their level and in some ways above their level.
Yeah, I would just reword that a bit. It's okay to say. I mean, I sit in executive rooms. I sit in executive rooms. I'm just like, I'm nowhere as smart as this dude. Uh-huh. But doesn't mean he's better than me.
Right.
It's just, he knows a whole lot more stuff about things than I know.
Right.
But to say that, you know, you're smarter than, and true, he didn't say it to his younger self, but, and I agree, you have to be your biggest hype man, but you also got to be realistic. I can say, hey, Terrell, there are people who are smarter than me, taller than me, better looking than me, more money than me, whatever. Doesn't mean they're better than me.
Right.
I think that's a better way to approach it.
And I feel what you're saying on that, but I think it's almost like the message to his younger self was to get away from the defeatist attitude. And I look at this like when I first came to the States, right? And my mom, she's doing her master's degree. She went into the program. It was her and one other black woman in that master's program, right? And the other woman was like, yeah, well, they're never going to give me an A. And my mom was like, no. If they're going to give anybody else an A, they're going to have to grade. You have to grade on a curve because they're going to start from mine and I'm going to set the bar and everybody else has to come to it. And it's the way that they had to do it. If they want to give this white kid the A, well, hey, you're going to have to grade on the curve. He's going to bring everybody else up because here's mine and here's his. And I think that mentality is kind of what he was trying to put in his younger self, if he could.
Possibly so. I'm not knocking it. Maybe he should have just said, always trust your boy.
That might have worked too.
That would have been some, always trust your boy.
And then you would have been like, nope. I'm moving across to the other boy? Side of the class. You have any faith in your boy? Nope. So, you know, I think
you're gonna, right, he should have told him, one day you're gonna have a friend that you're gonna meet in San Diego. Y'all are going to hook up a few times, but y'all are just really close friends. Then your wife is going to meet her.
Yeah.
And eventually your wife's going to find out. Don't sleep with this girl.
Kitchen. Don't let her come to the wedding.
Oh, I'm literally, I'm waiting to see. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm waiting to see if that's going to be the drama between them two. If he hooked up with Morgan and Stasha finds out.
Right before decision day. That would be amazing. Mm. They want the drama. That's how they need to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Morgan, I do believe we got to switch up names. I mean, we went with Lion Morgan and Stingy Ben since episode two, I believe. And now I think we really have to take Awaken 11's suggestion and go with Mean Morgan. And I think we got to move that lion title over to Ben since he's admitted to this and he's eating that lion title right now. But when they all got there, I thought
Mean Morgan and Ben Lion. Mean Morgan and Ben Lion. Like, that's
because he been lying. You're right.
He been lying.
But you know, Mitch made a great point, man. You know, while Ben was a chatty Betty, and he had to talk to somebody though. And he's right. You know, here we are in this abnormal situation. You married a stranger. Shit's going on. And you got to talk to somebody. Now, I still fault Ben Lyon for telling it to Justin because Justin pillow talks with Alexis or puts it on a speakerphone so she can hear. And all that came right back out. But if you think about it, Morgan wouldn't even let the man get a word in. So, of course, he had to go talk to somebody else. Of course he did.
Let's just call him Justin No AirPods. So I agree, because when this whole beginning start or this episode started and Morgan and them came into the picture, so I didn't know they had separated, mm-hmm. You know, but she is just so angry and I can't understand, like, what did he do? And you're 100% right about Mitch. Like, if I was going through that, I couldn't call you and be like, Yanni, man, I don't know, because you're not going to be able to relate. Mm-hmm. And you're married. You're not going to be able to relate to this. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just met someone I've never... Actually, you'd be at the wedding, so you'd see her. We have to set up a code, like, text me. Yeah. What does she look like?
It's just text
is
me.
Is it Janet number. Jackson or Freddie Jackson? Like, what does she look like?
Give me the run emoji or the hallelujah emoji.
Or if it's average, just put prayer hands. Because yeah. Like, maybe you can make it work. But if you listen to the words that she uses, mm-hmm. You know, backstabbed.
Yes.
Betrayed.
Yes.
I'm like, what has happened to you? Mm. And the fact that Ben is like, yeah, I signed up to get therapy.
Yeah.
So, and I'm hoping Ben's not lying about therapy. He signed up to get therapy. I'm like, that's great, Ben. Morgan, you should do the same. Because whatever's hurting you, whatever's happened, you're going to have to deal with that because there's no guy is going to be good enough. And I think it puts Ben in a lose-lose situation because right now, Morgan's the tough girl, mm-hmm. Similar to Alexis. Now she's not respecting him.
Right.
Because he's not fighting back. Because she did all that acting. Remember, Stasia's like, so has he tried to reach out to him? Radio silence. I wouldn't reach out to your ass either.
I said the exact same thing. You didn't let me talk when we were in person. Why am I going to reach out to you and think you're going to let me talk now? Even when we met at the place that we got married, you wouldn't let me speak. Then you're like, tell me. Wait a minute. When am I supposed to tell you? Speak up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. So, of course, he didn't reach out to you. But what I do like is when they try to ambush the guys, right? And Stasha's just messy as hell for that. But, you know, Nate, got to give him props, boy. You got to give it to your boy. Because he was like, hold up now. Where's all this hostility coming from? I like the fact that he did it. Like, because Morgan has been playing the victim this entire time. And I like the fact that they was like, no, where's this hostility coming from? What's up with this?
He's like that old black grandpa. Check your attitude, girl. You're smelling yourself.
And words of the wise, ladies, let your man speak. I mean, you can't ask the man to tell you what's happening and then don't let him speak, because your man probably ain't running to Justin. He'll be running to talking to Alexis. So let that man speak and get it off his chest so that y'all can have a real conversation, because that's what never happened in this relationship.
Because she's just so mad and she just keeps saying the same thing. You hurt me. You betrayed me. And he's like, yes, I did. I apologize. But it's too late. Yeah. You can't apologize. I'm not going to do anything. And then she's like, I let you back in. It'd be one thing if like he cheated. That's what she's making sense. He didn't give out her social security numbers to people. Mm-hmm. He's just talking about the relationship because he needed someone to talk to. Like, she has to let that go. And I think that I still believe that part of this lash out is the reality that her financial situation isn't where she would like it to be. And she feels embarrassed by it. Now, a lot of people commented, well, Terrell, she's already, she's making money. I'm not saying she's not making money. You can make money and be broke.
Yes. Indeed.
You can make a lot of money and still be broke.
There are a lot of broke doctors out there for a reason.
Exactly. And so I think that she's like, holy crap, this guy has his shit together. And I don't. He's asking her some questions that maybe triggered some of this. And now she feels embarrassed now on live TV. I don't even think they're going to make it all the way to the decision to the deal, to decision day. But what really annoyed me about Morgan today was even after the group chat with everybody, meeting with Dr. Pepper, Ben writes this letter to himself and pours his heart out a bit. Mm-hmm. And she can't even discuss that. And again, maybe they talked and the producer just edited that out. Mm-hmm. But can't really discuss that. And she's like, I don't feel comfortable reading my letter to you. I'm like, Jesus effing Christ, what can he do? And nothing he can do to get your trust back.
And this is the same woman who says she still wants to work it out. No, you don't. And you
no.
And if I remember correctly, last week she said she is going to torture him for the next 4 weeks. And that is her plan. If I am him, I don't know why he's still there. I don't allow this to happen. No, no, no. Because, and especially after what she pulled today with the whole, oh yeah, I can't read it to you. I don't feel comfortable sharing any personal. Look, this is her revenge for him calling her a liar. Remember we said in the very beginning that he made too big a deal. She has never forgiven him for that. She has never forgiven him. And the minute she had the chance to get revenge on him, and that's what she's doing right now, because she realized that he's into her. He's not the guy that's just going to snatch her up and be like, yo, shut the fuck up. And he's got the muscles, but he's not going to do anything. Right. And I mean that in mental strength, he's not mentally strong enough to deal with her. Right. He's not mentally strong enough to just tell her like, hold up. We're either going to talk or we're not. You either walking out the door and don't come back, or we're going to sit here and we're going to forgive each other. We're going to get through this. He's not strong enough to do that. And that's why she's punishing him, and he needs to walk away. I feel so bad for him. He needs Justin to go ahead and give him a hug so he can feel better.
No, he needs to go get with Alexis, get some pointers on how to freaking man up, because you're not, I mean, I think you're right. The fact that he is not going to stick up for himself, she's going to talk to him like that. At some point, you got to say, hey, let's calm this down. Here's what we're not going to do. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to talk to each other like this. If you can't have a conversation with you being this angry, why don't you go walk away, come back, we'll have some dinner, and then we'll try this again.
Yeah.
We good? All right. You know, but you got to like have that voice. And I'm not saying be confrontational, yell at her or anything, but you got to like freaking nut up a bit and be like, hey, I need you to pick those flowers up that I just bought you, and let's have an adult conversation. Well, we good?
How many ways can he say, it's my fault, I'm sorry, I apologize? Because at some point, it's even like, okay, I've said it, I've said the words. How many more ways do you want me to say it? Or am I not saying it in a way that you understand? What is going to make you understand that I feel bad about this? Or does it just not matter? Because if it doesn't matter and you're not going to change your mind, let's not waste everybody's time. Let's stop this right now. If you've already made up your mind that this is what it is and you're just out for revenge, then fuck it. Let's move on. Plain and simple.
Well, she needs that money for the student loans and get that one credit. So maybe she's going to...
Look, and you know, he's already accounted for all those dollars, so he's not letting one go.
he's good. She's like behind the scenes like, Ben, I need this. Yeah. You are not going to ruin this for me.
And just for that, I would walk away. Hey, you know, it's we're past the halfway point, so we have a couple more weeks to go. And I like today's episode just in the fact that you really got to know more about the couples and know about the individuals in these relationships. I'm looking forward to what's coming up, because you know there's some more drama coming up. As you saw in the preview, there's some drama on the horizon. You knew it. Today's episode was just too good. Look on the horizon.
It's coming. If you notice the next week's episode, there's no Ben and Morgan. At least in the
right
preview,
yeah,
there was no Ben and Morgan, which makes me be like,
Well, we'll be right back here next Thursday to give you that same recap of Married at First Sight season 15. Don't forget, Monday we drop our audio episode of our regular episodes, and of course on Tuesday we drop the video on YouTube. So you know, hey, stick around. We made it through 100 episodes of our regular episodes. On to the next 100. Here we go. 101.
On to the next one. I'm down. You know, we got to find some different reality shows, because these, whatever you're into, we can get you some counseling.
We can do Love After Lockup if you like. There's Love After Lockup. There's Ready to Love. There's so many. There's so many.
We'll see.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.